Psalms 127, Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let's pray tonight. Lord, I do thank you for this chapter. Thank you for just the blessing that it's been to me for some time now. God, I pray that you'd help us as we just maybe study your word, maybe draw some very practical, applicable truths out of this. Lord, I pray that I would just present it the way I should present it. And God, only help me to say what I should. I pray that you'd be honored tonight and everything that's said. And Lord, I pray for the young people. I pray for all of us that are older that do have children. And Lord, I pray that we would just have a proper view of this. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preface tonight. Isn't it always bad when you have to preface something? But I'm going to preface tonight by saying I am not a child-rearing expert by any means, okay? So, and there's a lot of you that you've already had children. Your children are grown and raised. And honestly, I'm not talking about child-rearing tonight, okay? I'm just drawing a correlation in the Bible that God draws with young people. And this past Saturday was a blessing for me. I've never... Pastor asked me before the youth rally Saturday, he's like, "Are you nervous?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm nervous." That's the first thing I'd ever done anything like that. You know, pastors put on tons of them, preached a ton. I've never been involved with that part of that. But it was a blessing to see all the young people here. And, you know, if you would ask me 5 years ago if I would want to work with the teens, I'd laughed at you and told you why I didn't want to work with the teens. But, you know, I pray that God always allows me to have a heart for young people, not just teenagers, but young people. I know our pastor still has a heart for the young people. He still has a heart for teens, and he still does that. But Psalms chapter 127, we're going to go down through this just a little bit, and then we're going to look at the last two verses primarily. But Psalms 127, I love verse number 2. I just had to mention it in passing. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." You know what the Bible says here? Hey, there's no use, you know, waking up early, staying up late to worry about things. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Look at the bottom of the verse. "For so he giveth his beloved sleep." And that's a blessing that being a child of God, he does give us a sleep. But verse number 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And children are a blessing. I believe that every child, I think parents, I've heard people say this, it's like, "Man, we weren't really expecting this one." You know, you hear that a lot. "We weren't expecting this one." But then you ask them 10 years later what life would be without that child, and you think, we couldn't even imagine life without that child. And so I think that every child, and like Pastor talked about Sunday, he put it much more eloquently than I ever could. You know, God formed each child. He knows each and every child, and he has a purpose. He has a plan. And some of that, and, you know, even young people, I want you to pay attention tonight, because I'm going to explain a few things to you in a very practical, I like visuals, very practical, very visual way that I hope will make sense to you. So we're going to look at this tonight. Verse number 4. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Most of you probably knew that once you read this chapter, somewhere along this, I was going to get to this, all right? "But as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man." So I'm going to make some observations about this, about verse number 4. My first observation is, where are these arrows at? Now, most of you just think about the children and, you know, where what they have to do with this verse. But where are these arrows at? They're in the hand of a mighty man. Okay, now I want you to really engage your minds into what used to go on. Not what we would talk about bow and arrow today, okay? We just use it primarily for hunting or for target. Back in the old times, they used it for everything. I mean, that was their gun. They didn't have guns. That was what they... Anything you use a gun for now, they could have used a bow and arrow for back then, okay? But a mighty man, The Bible says, it just doesn't say that as arrows are in the hand of a hunter, as arrows are in the hand of, you know, whoever. The Bible says as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. What's the difference, Brother Chad? I believe, and here's my first observation, a mighty man is one that knows the potential of the arrow in his hand. A mighty man is one who knows the potential of the arrow in his hand. Now, you think about, you know, a common person. If I gave you, some of you that have never shot a bow, if I gave you an arrow, you don't know necessarily what that arrow can do. But a man that has fought his whole life and that has hunted, he knows the arrow that he holds in his hand, he knows what that arrow can do. He knows how far that arrow will go. He knows how much damage that arrow can do. Okay? He knows the potential of that arrow. The second thing, a mighty man knows that this arrow will reach things that he could never reach. Now, this is one of the most important things. You know, the Bible doesn't say as children, as a sword in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of their youth. It doesn't say that. You know what a sword is? A sword is a close personal weapon. Something that you get in somebody's face and you kill somebody with a sword. An arrow is reaching out way beyond what you could actually go out and touch somebody. That was the whole genius of the bow and arrow, was be able to have the firepower to reach something that humanly you couldn't reach. And you know what? I want to draw correlations here. You know these young people, and young people, I want you to listen to me tonight too. You've got a huge amount of potential. But what you don't realize, a lot of times young people don't realize the potential that they do have. And here's the other thing. The young people here tonight will reach and do things much farther than I'll ever be able to. Partly because of their age. Partly because of their upbringing. Those of you that are older in here would say, Brother Chad, okay, there's this, that young person guaranteed, a five-year-old is going to be able to go farther and reach farther than a 50-year-old in here. It's a matter of fact. Okay, your kids and your grandkids can do more than what you've been able to do. They've got more potential. But it takes, you know what it takes? It takes somebody that understands that. I want to challenge you tonight, those of us that are older, don't discount the young people. We had a lot of young people here on Saturday, and I wish, maybe we should have taken a picture and showed everybody. I don't know. Most of you weren't here, okay? And it, necessarily we didn't say you had to come. It wasn't like it was a, you know, church thing. But you could watch rows of young people, okay, that was the potential arrows of the next generation. You know, these young people, okay, they're not perfect. And I'm going to get to this. I'm going to show you. I love the bow and arrow. I love the bow and I didn't really do my introduction. I love the bow and arrow. In a survival situation, a primitive survival situation, two weapons will get you food, basically. A slingshot, okay, and a bow and arrow. Either one of these, and I'm not talking about, you know, a rubber slingshot. Because in a primitive situation, you don't have rubber. Okay? That's not a, you know, unless you're down south, you know, tropical and you want to, you know, get the whole rubber tree thing going. But, you know, good luck to you on that. All right? To me, it's just easier to get a couple pieces of string and put a pouch on it. All right? But in a bow and arrow, either one of them could be made completely from scratch. Okay? I have done some of that. And that's part of when I was in school, we had, you know, we'd get done with our schoolwork and we were allowed to go read books. And the encyclopedia I would always get was like the I Encyclopedia. And you flip back to Indians, Native American Indians, and you look at, and I would spend hours sitting at my desk trying to figure out how they made the tools that they made. And then I would go home and try to do it, okay? So I've tried all this stuff. I've made arrows before. I've made a couple bows. I've done all this stuff, all right? So I'm not just completely spouting off here about things, okay? So the bow and arrow is very important. It's been huge in our history. An arrow in the hand of a mighty man will be able to do things that the mighty man will not be able to physically do. See the potential of these young people. See the potential for your kids. You know what? Pastor did this for me growing up. I believe these young people can do things that these young people don't believe that they can do. Think about that. I believe that these young people can do things that these young people do not believe that they can do. And that's part of holding an arrow and saying, what can this arrow do? That's part of looking down the road and saying, okay, maybe this arrow is made for this purpose. Okay? Young people, you don't always see the things that your mom and dad see. You don't understand, why do we have to go through this? Why are we doing this? Why the rules? Okay, you don't understand that. And sometimes you get frustrated because you don't see down there. Look at down in verse number 5. The very last part of this verse. What does it say these arrows will do? I love this. I love the terminology here. The Bible says, they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. It's basically like saying, my bullets are going to talk to you. Okay? That's what we're going to talk in bullet language. But you know what? My children are going to speak to you in the gate. They're going to tell you how this is going to work. You know what that is? That's a mighty man pulling back an arrow. Now listen, your parents spend 18 years preparing an arrow. You know the interesting thing about an arrow? Is just like anything else. You pull that arrow back. You know the only time, and I'm going to get to this later, the only time, listen to me, that the mighty man can determine the accuracy of that arrow is before it ever leaves the string. The only time a mighty man can ever determine the accuracy of that arrow is before it leaves the string. Once he lets go, he can't change the path. You can't change it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there's an interesting thing about, you know, an arrow pretty much goes where I want it to go. But young people, you can make a choice. And you got to decide to do what's right. I believe a young girl, listen, one of the teenage girls got up and gave her testimony in front of 130 some odd peers. How many adults in here would get up and give a testimony in front of 100 plus some people that you don't know? What is that? Does she want to do that? She didn't. But you believe in something that they don't even believe in themselves. What makes a young person leave and go to Bible college? Why did I go to Bible college? Because I believed that I could do it? No. Because I had a pastor that believed I could do it. And I had a parents that believed I could do it. There were mighty people that had an arrow in their hands. I believe a young person can leave their home and their comfort zone and do something for God. They can break the chain in their family. Your family's got a family, and I'm not going to get into it. I preach a message in chapel, but your family's got a chain. And you know, you know what I love about a chain? I should have brought it. Listen to me, young people, in one link, you can change the direction of a chain completely. In one link. Well, Brother Chad, I don't have a good heritage. You can change that in one lifetime. In every family in here, this is a whole other illustration, a whole other subject. In every family in here, there's chain breakers. Okay? In every family in here, one of you had to decide, we're going to serve God. And we reap the benefits of that. So the hand of the mighty man. We need some mighty men that are willing to be arrow makers. That will help these young people turn out right. I said already, we're going to talk about the arrows. The accuracy of the arrow is determined by how much it is formed when it is in the hand of the mighty man. The mighty man that values his arrows will spend the time to make sure his arrows fly true. Once you let them go, it's pretty hard to correct their course. The correction must be done while they're still with us. Truths about making an arrow. All right, now here's the fun part, okay? Truths about making an arrow. Now, I brought some things with me tonight. A couple different things, okay? Where does an arrow come from? generally, until recently, until carbon and aluminum came about, it came from a small tree. Okay? Now, most of us don't go out and find perfect trees in the woods. Okay? And let me say this. None of these young people are perfect. None of us have ever been perfect. And the young people, we don't expect you to be perfect, but we do want you to improve. I'm not giving you a cop-out here, okay? But none of us are perfect. And I picked this up. Obviously, it doesn't have it. This was a live tree. Doesn't look very live, but it is a live tree. Was a live tree. But you know, what would be the first thing that you would look at? I mean, you know, you want me to pull my bow back? You know, see how many people I can hit on the way through. You know what I mean? All right. What is the first thing? All right. Here's the first thing. The arrow must first be streamlined. What does that mean, Brother Chad? It means you got to get rid of all the extra stuff. And young people, I want to help you here. Brother Chad, why doesn't my mom and dad let me watch that on TV? You know what they're doing? They're streamlining you. They're getting rid of stuff that's not going to make you fly very good. And we don't understand that. Why am I not allowed to go do this activity? Why am I not allowed to go to this friend's house? You know what they're doing? You know what my mom and dad did? I didn't understand it growing up. But they were streamlining me. They were getting ready. What were they doing? It was a mighty man that was thinking not about today when it's peaceful, but about that enemy that I'm going to have to speak to in the gate that I will never be able to reach. So right now, I'm preparing my arrow for that. Young people, your parents are preparing you for something. Look, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not a place that we build the ordinary. We're here to build extraordinary. Okay? We're not here to let go of our arrow and watch it, you know, go 20 feet to the left. That's not what we're here for. Okay? That's why your parents have you at a Christian church. Okay? That's why your parents take the time to get you to visitation. That's why your parents take your time and the money to get you to a youth rally and to get you to a youth revival. Because they're trying to they're getting rid of the junk. Because you ask Brother Nathan and anybody in here that shoots a bow, an arrow that's like this is not going to fly very well. Okay? It's not. That's the fact of the matter. So it's streamlined. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1, the last part of that verse says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What the world does not realize is that if they keep that in their life, they have to carry it with them the rest of their life. Remember what I said? Once that mighty man lets that arrow go, it's going. Well, that stuff could fall off. Yeah, but if it falls off, it will drastically change the course of that arrow. I'm so thankful for my parents and what they were doing to streamline us. I would have to take, if I was going to make this into an arrow, I'd have to strip all the bark off of it. I'd have to scrape all the knots smooth on this shaft. Okay? But Brother Chad, it's still crooked. We're getting there. You know, like I said, it doesn't start out perfect. But in the hands of a mighty man, if that shaft will remain workable, young people, if you'll remain workable, we can transform you. Brother Chad, I got some rough spots. Look at the king of rough spots. I had so many knots, it wasn't even funny. All right? You can be transformed. Young people need to get rid of your things in your life that's frivolous. And I'm being dead serious here. Some of you got friends. Brother Chad, this is Wednesday night, okay? Hey, maybe it's good for all of us. You know, if God wants to use, let's say God's the mighty man. And God's got a purpose for all of us down the road. What branch is hanging off that if God could get rid of in our life, it would change the direction of our life permanently? It's applicable to every generation. Devices. You know what I'm talking about? All this electronic junk. your devices that you spend hours and hours. What is that? Is it bad? Well, I don't know that weights are bad, but they sure bog you down. Friends, some of you got friends that you need to get rid of. Some of you got contacts that you need to get rid of. Brother Chad, they're not a bad person. I didn't say there's a bad person. I just said that maybe it was a weight that was dragging you down. Entertainment. Brother Chad, there's going to be nothing left on it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen an arrow shaft with anything left on it but feathers? I haven't. Have you? An arrow shaft with anything on it but feathers. Why? Because everything extra on, they minimize that shaft to get it to fly as fast and as straight and as true as possible. Secondly, so the arrow must be streamlined. And obviously, I'm not going to take time to whittle this down to an arrow up here, okay? It'd be a little messy. Secondly, the arrow must be straightened. I'm going to go to Proverbs. I'm going to read a couple verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 9. I love this part because when I first started studying arrow making, I didn't believe this was possible. But it is possible, and I got proof. Okay, so Brother Chad, let's say we get this arrow shaft streamlined. We get all the bark peeled off of it. It dries properly. It's of the proper spine. We get it measured, sized. It's all consistent. What then? What if it's still crooked? All right? Proverbs chapter number 9. Let's look at verse number 7. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, I hope this makes sense to you. I didn't have any pre-made shafts. I haven't made any arrow shafts for a while. So I went and I bought some, okay? Mr. Tony Rash helped me out, okay? These are not actually arrow shafts. I'd use something else. This is poplar. It's a pretty soft wood. And by the way, the wood. Let me just say something about the wood in passing. Just kind of hit my thought. Say, Brother Chad, what wood makes the best arrows? You know, a resilient wood makes the best arrows. Something that's got a little spring to it. All right? Because when an arrow leaves a bow, even the arrows we use now, when an arrow leaves the bow, it actually bows. The arrow actually bends because of the force, and then it straightens back out in flight. Okay, and that's what they call the spine. It's got to be able to take the same amount of force. That's why you size your arrows all the same. Well, here's an encouraging thought. Oops. You know, sometimes the hardest wood to work with makes the best arrows. Because it's stronger. You know, if you can, young people, those that work with young people, sometimes the kids that are about to drive you crazy, I say this, the kids with the most problems have the most potential. So don't give up on the ones that are hard to work with. They could be the ones that fly the straightest. Just takes a little more work. So I got these two, when I bought these from Mr. Rash, these were bent the same direction. Or not bent. They were both fairly straight, like this. Okay? I bent this one to look like this. All right? And it will stay this way for a long period of time. Now, I want to help you with something, okay? This is good for me. This must be done carefully, or the arrow will be weakened. A crooked arrow can be made straight by a process of heating it and bending it. I heated this. I took a heat gun, and I heated this, and I very slowly bent it. And I bent it, and I bent it, and I bent it, and I bent it. And then I let the heat off of it. And then when I let it go, it was bent. Now, I bent this the opposite direction. Obviously, this is crooked now. But you know you can do the same thing with something that's crooked. You can heat it, and you can bend it, and then you eyeball it. No, that's not quite. You bend it, and you eyeball it. And you bend it, and you eyeball it. and you bend it. Some people, sometimes you don't understand why the heat. Well, this ain't fair. Why these crazy rules that they have? What are we trying to do? We're trying just to bend you a little bit so that you'll fly straight. Okay? We're just trying to bend you just a little bit. Let me say this. My dad is a master at fixing things that are bent. He had to be with me working for him. I was always hitting something with the farm. I mean, I'd come back to the shop. I don't know how many times we'd come back to the shop, and the harrow on the back of the disc, Brother Josh, looked like a banana. I don't know what I hit, but it hit something. And you know, you get a 300 horse tractor pulling something, something's going to give, okay? And usually was the tool. My dad, he'd take a jack and he'd put that jack on there and he'd bend it. But you know, Brother Josh, my dad never did bend it just straight. When something's bent, you have to bend it past straight. And then it comes back to where it is straight. Okay? Young people, yeah, we're tough on you sometimes. You know, most of the time the drill sergeant's the toughest guy you see in the military. Why? Because he's trying to make you tough enough for when something bad does happen. It's like, oh, I was ready for this. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to just straighten you. Remember, it has to be bent past where it needs to be for, in order for it to stay. Here's the one thing you got to be careful of. Young people, listen. The only danger about heating something and bending it, and I found this out the hard way, okay? You can't scorch the wood. You can't leave it in the fire too long. If you leave it in the fire too long, it makes a weak spot in it. And you know, you'll never see it while the mighty man is looking at his arrow. He'll never see that weak spot. But when he shoots the arrow, that weak spot will show itself. So be careful with the young people. But here's the other thing. Young people, I want to caution you. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. I'll read this to you because I think it needs to be said to young people. I had it in my life. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to me, young people. Your parents try to bend you, and you resist, and you buck up, and they try to keep bending you, and the same spot, and you're, well, I'm not giving that up. You know what a mighty man, a good mighty man will do? Because this won't hold its shape forever. This will eventually go with the grain, okay? So he was constantly checking his arrows, make sure they're straight. You know what a mighty man would do? He'd look at his arrows. Man, that arrow's bent in the same spot. So what does he do? He takes it to the fire. Brother Chad, my mom and dad keep getting on to me for the same thing all the time. Wow, what a revelation. Did you ever think that maybe you're bent wrong there? And if they can just bend you back. But you know what happens? The same thing that the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter, 29? Okay? The same thing it talks about. You keep, listen to me, young people. You got a problem with authority? Listen to me. You got a problem with authority and you want to buck up about something to your mom and dad all the time? God has an interesting way of, okay, go ahead. But he'll always bring it back to you later. He'll always bring it back to you later. Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And there's some young people that you're hardening your heart against your parents. Okay? Why are you hardening your heart against your parents? You know what happens? They're trying just to get you straight. I don't know any parent in here that's like, well, I'm just going to, you know, make my child crooked so that when they go out, they're just going to go out and do. They wouldn't probably be coming here if that's the case. We're not really the type of church that promotes that. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get you just to fly straight. Because when that mighty man lets go of his arrow, he doesn't want it to see it end up 10 feet to the left. He wants it to hit his target. He wants it to speak to his enemies in the gate. Young people, that's what you're made for. That's why you're at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? But what happens? What happens, Brother Chad? if that's stressed in the same spot over and over, when that hits its target or on the way to its target, it's very likely to fracture at that spot. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that, there is no bending back. A few times I broke some things really well. I was a good breaker. I broke them great. You know, there really wasn't a remedy. We had to go buy new ones. Be careful about getting your hearts hard, young people. I remember some times that growing up, my heart got hard. And you know what? When you're younger, when you're my kids' age, it's nice having kids my kids' age, because you can still light the fire under them pretty good. And you can bend it. They're so moldable. So moldable. And there again, as a parent, I got to be careful. Which way am I bending my kids? Because in the same regard, hey, which way are you bending your? Listen, if they're straight, why would we try to bend them to a different way? Okay, just makes them fly crooked. All right, we're almost done. Truths about the arrow. The arrow must be streamlined. Get rid of the junk in your life. The arrow must be straightened. Don't get mad at your parents, young people. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you. Okay? They love you. Don't get mad at your pastor. Pastor Ross, pastor just don't love. That's a bunch of baloney. You don't know the tears and the time that he's spent on you. Okay? You have no clue. Let me challenge you, young people, when finally you are let go, fly straight. I don't know if there's anything more discouraging for a parent or for a mighty man that if he would spend all that time and all that effort, all that money, investing in what he had and then let it go and see it just go wayward. I pray by the grace of God that I don't have to be there. And that's only what it is, by the grace of God. Because listen, young people, you have to make that decision. Your parents can make a perfect shaft, give you every opportunity, but if you don't decide to serve God, you'll break their heart. All right, truths of understanding the arrow. It has to be in the hand of a mighty man. What are we as adults, those that work with young people, how are we forming these arrows? Do you know the potential of these young people? Have you dreamed for them? Or are they an inconvenience? Well, Brother Chad, you just don't understand. You know, they tore something up in the gym. Okay. You know, there's an interesting verse in the Bible. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase cometh by the strength of the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. You know what that means? You can have a perfectly clean stall without any cattle, but you won't get any plowing done either. You know how many doors these teenagers knocked on this afternoon? This afternoon. Probably 150 doors this afternoon. I'll fix a few things here and there. I'll clean up after them. Brother Chad, you just don't. Well, come talk to me. I'll go take care of it. Okay? And then I'll find them and they'll go take care of it. Just got to know how to work it. Hey, these young people are worth fighting for. All right? They're worth taking a little time when, Brother Chad, man, that thing's as crooked as all get out. We had, Brother Levi, we had what? 3 rows of complete heathens here on Saturday. I promise you. I mean, I was about to strangle every one of them. I was, oh my word. It wasn't these. These were, our kids were doing great. It was some prodigals that we've been working on. But you know, Brother Levi, Bryce would be able to reach more kids than I'd ever be able to reach. His personality, the things he's already been, as a fifth grader, the things he's already been. Why this? You want to know how bent these kids are? Why would a fifth grader on the way home tell Brother Levi, a fifth grader, get you this? I think God's wrong about some things, and I think I'm right. You know how warped they are? But there's hope. And God is hope. You just got to bend them. You can't snap them. Little by little, little heat, little pressure. If they don't want to do it, you can't force them. God gave us free will. But I think they're worth a little time and a little effort to get straight. So let's not give up on them. Let's not give up. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this has kind of just been, if nothing else, this has been my journey. It's kind of what I've been thinking about the last few days. And Lord, I just want to share my heart tonight. God, I pray that you'd help these young people, Lord. I pray that they would, Lord, I know that their parents are pouring their hearts, pouring their lives into them. And God, it's sad sometimes to see a young person buck up and not appreciate all that they've been given, the opportunities that they've been given. Lord, I pray that we would, as a whole, we would get behind the young people. Lord, help us to realize the potential. Help us to realize that any one of these young people could go on to do amazing things for you. And Lord, I'm sorry where I failed you, and sometimes discrediting young people and giving up on them. I have failed in that. And Lord, I want to do better. Lord, I pray that you'd help the young people here. I pray that they would realize the process that's being done, and Lord, how they're not just created just to be a good citizen. They're created to be a Christian citizen and somebody that's going to serve you. Lord, I pray we'd understand this. Pray we'd recognize it. Lord, thank you for this lesson that you've taught me in my life. And Lord, help me to be better at it. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.